Amen. All right, well, we're there in Acts chapter number 2, and we've been going through a series. We took a little break from it, but we've been going through a series on Sunday mornings called A Day in the Life. And if you remember, we've looked at several different categories with regards to what a day in the life of a believer should look like. And when actually the very first sermon I preached was entitled A Day in the Life of a Believer. And we looked at just some things in general, things that we should all be doing on a daily basis. And we talked about Bible reading and prayer and dying to self and giving thanksgiving to the Lord. And then we started looking at some specific things. We talked about a day in the life of a Christian man on week 2. Week 3, we looked at a day in the life of a Christian lady. Week 4, we did a day in the life of Christian children. And then week 5, a day in the life of Christian young people. And then the last sermon on this subject was A Day in the Life of Senior Saints. This morning is going to be the last sermon in this series. And today, I want to speak to you on the subject of A Day in the Life of a Church. And of course, you're in church this morning, and we're thankful for that. And I think that church is an important thing. And you're there in Acts chapter 2. If you're going to speak on the subject of church, I think the book of Acts is a perfect book to go to. The Lord Jesus Christ, of course, established the church during his ministry, but the book of Acts is the story, the history of the early church. And I want you to notice there in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, the Bible says this, Acts 2:41, "Then they that gladly received this word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Of course, this is after the day of Pentecost, and this is a big day that kind of launched the local New Testament church. It didn't start on the day of Pentecost, but this was a day that launched it in a big way. But I want you to notice in verse 42, the Bible says this, "And they." And the word "they" there is referring to the members of the church, those who just received this word and were baptized before the day of Pentecost. Of course, the church there in Jerusalem had 120 members meeting in an upper room praying. After the day of Pentecost, they had 3,000 souls that had been saved and baptized. And here in verse 42, the Bible says, "And they," and I want you to notice this word, I like this word, it says "continued." "And they continued steadfastly," and it tells us what they continued in. In the apostles' doctrine, that's teaching, and fellowship, of course, that's friendships and relationships, and in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. If you look down to verse number 46, I want you to notice that the Bible says this, "And they," and you'll notice this word again, "continuing." In verse 42, we saw the word "they continued." In verse 46, it says "they continuing." But I want you to notice this word now. It says "daily." Continuing daily. And what we see in the book of Acts, and I'm going to show it to you as we go through this sermon, is that there is an emphasis on the early church, the early churches, and there is an emphasis on what they did on not just a regular basis or a weekly basis, but what they did on a daily basis. Here we're told in verse 46 that they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and in breaking of bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. So I want to speak on this subject for just a few moments this morning. A day in the life of a church. A day in the life of a church. Let me just begin just by way of introduction to clarify what I mean when I say a church, because sometimes people are confused by that term. And when we speak of a church, you know, let me be clear that we're not talking about a building. When we say church, we're not talking about brick and mortar and drywall. Oftentimes in our culture and our society, people will look at a building and they'll say, "Oh, there's a church." And you might drive by and say, "Oh, there's a church." And I understand why people say that, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with people saying that as far as them having ill intentions. But if we want to be biblically accurate, what we would actually say, and what I personally purpose to say, oftentimes when I'm speaking to the staff and I'm asking them to maybe do something, I'll say, I need you to stop by the church building. And this building is not a church. It's a house. It's a building that houses the church. But a church is not a building. A church is a body of believers. It is a body of believers that have chosen to come together for the fulfilling of the Great Commission. It's a body of saved, baptized church members that are living out the Christian life together. It's an assembly. So today, for example, this morning when I greeted when I began the church service by greeting us, I said, I want to welcome you to this meeting of the Verity Baptist Church. Why? Because on Sunday morning, the Verity Baptist Church is meeting together. On Sunday night, we will meet again. On Wednesday night, we will meet again. But after the service this morning, when we leave, the building will still be here, but the church will no longer be here because the church will have gone in its separate ways. And we pray that you'll come back tonight and we'll meet again. A church is an assembly. The word church means a called out assembly. It is an assembly, a congregating of believers. That's what we're talking about. A church is a body of believers that come together to live the Christian life together, also to fulfill the Great Commission. And so I want to be clear about that. And maybe if I want to be more clear, what I would say is we're not talking about a day in the life of a church, but what we're talking about is a day in the life of a church family. Because what I'm talking about is not what does a day in the life of people who maybe attend church from time to time, and we're thankful for people who attend church from time to time, but I'm talking about people who have chosen to be part of a church family, who have chosen to be part of a community of believers, who have identified themselves, as Jesus would say, or as the Word of God would say, as members of a body that together unite to make this local assembly. By the way, let me just say this. There is no such thing as a universal church. A church is a local assembly. It is a congregation. One day, there will be a universal church at the rapture when all believers are gathered together. But for now, and in the Bible, you'll notice that there's a church in Jerusalem. There's a church at Antioch. And there's a church here. We call it the Verity Baptist Church. But I want to speak to you about this idea of a church family and what does a day in the life of a church family look like. And I've got several thoughts, in fact, four thoughts that I'd like to give you this morning. And maybe you can jot these down if you'd like on the back of your course of the week. There's a place for you to take down some notes. And I always encourage you to take notes. I think it helps us to learn when we write some things down and to retain some information. You're there in Acts chapter 2. Look down at verse 46 again. Notice the words here. The Bible says, "And they continuing daily..." And in this verse, there's a couple of things that are emphasized with regards to what they continue daily. And when I see these words, continuing daily, Acts 2:42, they continued steadfastly. The first thing that I see, and if you'd like to jot this down, what I'd like to point out to you is that we see a daily walk. We see a daily walk. And I think this is important as we begin, because when we talk about a day in the life of a church, or specifically a day in the life of a church family, I think the first thing we need to understand is that being part of a church is not an event. It's not something we do. It's not something we do on Sunday morning. It's not something we do on Sunday night. It's not something we do on Wednesday night. It's not something we do on a weekend. Now, for many people, it might just be that. It's just something we do. But if you're going to be part of a church family, the Bible teaches that there should be a daily walk associated with that. It's not something we do once a week, but it's something we are a part of every day of the week, all days of the week, all day. The Bible says here that they continued daily, and we see a daily walk. And that speaks to me of a continuance in living out your faith. It is a living out, not just on Sunday morning, but on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. And then we might ask this question, what does that look like? Because we obviously don't have church every day of the week, although I think we could have church every day of the week. It might be a good thing, but we're not going to do that. But what does that look like? What does it look like to be part of a church family that engages in continuing daily, that engages in a daily walk? What does it look like? Well, notice two things that are highlighted in this verse. The first is that they were walking in unity. In verse 46, notice the Bible says, "And they continuing daily," notice the words here, "with one accord." Continuing daily with one accord. That statement, one accord, is actually a musical term. But it speaks of unity. It speaks of having one mind, one passion, one heartbeat. And it's actually something that's emphasized in the book of Acts. That little phrase, one accord, is used 11 times in the book of Acts with regards or as a description of the local church. And it emphasizes unity. The accord there, being in one accord, is a musical term. It speaks to being in tune with each other. The musicians did a wonderful job this morning, didn't they? They sounded great. But one of the reasons they sounded good is because before you got here and before they started playing and before we started singing, they all got did tunings of their instruments, and they all got in tune with each other. And really, they didn't get in tune with each other. They just got in tune so that they could be of one accord, so that they could play together. If you were to take a piano and tune it to another piano, and then take that piano and tune it to another piano, and take that piano and tune it to another piano. For those of us that are not musicians, we might think, well, what's wrong with that? What's the big deal with that? I think that sounds like a good plan. The problem is that by the time you got down the road, by the time you got down to the 10th piano or the 15th piano or the 50th piano, they would all be slightly out of tune. You cannot tune instruments to other instruments because they're all going to, there's going to be slight variances. The way that you do it, the way, and I don't know anything about this, you can ask the musicians more about this, but my understanding of it, the way that you do it and the way you do it with these instruments, the way you do it with these pianos and with these different things is that you get them all tuned to a standard. And you might use like a tuning fork, something that gives a pure note. See, the problem when it comes to an orchestra playing and pianos playing, and it'd be nice if we could do this with our choir and get them all in tune. Some of them might need a little help with that. But the idea is that you don't try to tune to each other. If you try to tune to each other, you're all going to get messed up. There's going to be diversity and there's going to be dysfunction. But if there's a standard, a tuning fork, or now they've got apps that will give them a pure note, and you've got that pure standard, and everyone tunes to that one standard, then they can all play together in one accord. And that's what the Bible is referring to here when it says that they continue daily in one accord. And the idea for us is this, that the standard is the Lord Jesus Christ. The standard is the Word of God. And as you and I tune ourselves and line our lives up to the Word of God, that will actually help us be in one accord and to be in fellowship one with another. The Bible speaks a lot about this subject of being in one accord. Notice again there in verse 46, it says, "And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and in breaking of bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness." And then notice here, again, speaking to this idea of unity, it says, "And singleness of heart." They were with one accord and they had singleness of heart. The idea, again, is that they had one mind, one passion, one heartbeat, one driving force. And that driving force is the Lord Jesus Christ and the will of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible speaks a lot about this subject of unity. Let me just read some verses for you. You don't have to turn here. I'll just read these for you. You stay there in Acts chapter 2. But in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 3, the Apostle Paul said to the church at Ephesus, he said, "Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." He said in verse 13 of the same chapter, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." He said to the church at Philippi in Philippians 1:27, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast." Notice, hear these words. He says that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together the faith for the faith of the gospel. Here's what he said in Philippians 2:2. He says, "Fulfill ye my joy and be ye like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord." There's that statement again, one accord, he says, of one mind. The Bible speaks on this subject of continuing daily. You say, well, what does that look like? How do I, if I'm a member of this church, I'm a member of this family, what does it look like to have this daily walk? And one way that is emphasized for us is that we should walk in unity. And I want to say to you this morning, to those of you that call Verity Baptist Church your home, or maybe you're visiting here, but you've got a home church somewhere else, that one of the greatest things that you could help your church family with is to endeavor on purpose and with purpose to protect the unity of the family. To make sure that you are protecting the unity. Because if we're going to live out, if we're going to be a family that is walking with God, if we're going to have this daily walk, we must walk in unity. You say, well, what does that mean?
And I think that sometimes it's important for us because, you know, I can say all this and I can read all those verses. And the thing is this, that I don't think that there's anyone in this room that would probably disagree with anything I've said to this point. I don't think there's anybody that would disagree with any of the verses that I've read. I think that we all like those verses when it says to stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. We all like verses that say that we ought to be like-minded, to have the same love, to be of one accord. We all like verses that say that we ought to endeavor to keep the unity of the spirit in the bond of peace or to stand in the unity of faith. We all like that. But I think sometimes what helps us is not to look at what that looks like, but maybe consider what that doesn't look like. Because when I tell you the greatest thing you could do is to help purposefully protect the unity, you might say, well, of course we want unity, but is it possible that maybe you're hurting the unity? You say, what does unity look like? So I think that maybe it would be best to ask yourselves, what does unity not look like? What does unity not look like? I can tell you this, it doesn't look like gossip. What does unity not look like? I can tell you this, it doesn't look like cliques. What does unity not look like? I can tell you this, it doesn't look like being critical of fellow church members. It doesn't look like being rude to fellow church members. It doesn't look like looking down on other. Look, this is your family. If this is your family, if we call ourselves brothers and sisters in Christ, it's not just a spiritual term. If we all have the same Heavenly Father, then you've got brothers and you've got sisters, and God expects for us to walk in unity. Let me read to you some verses from Proverbs. You don't have to turn here. I'll just read these for you. Proverbs 16, verse 28. The Bible says, "A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends." The Bible says a whisperer separateth chief friends. You say, what does that mean? That means things that you don't want to say out loud. You've got to just kind of whisper them. It's always a red flag when you've got to, you know, you're in a conversation and the pastor, the pastor's wife, or maybe a staff person walks, and then all of a sudden you got to quiet it down. What are you hiding? What are you talking about that can't be said above a whisper? And the idea is this, that whisperers and whispering separated chief friends. Proverbs 16 says this. In verse 16 it says, "These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him." Brother Matt Morello preached on this verse not too long ago, and I think it's a great, great sermon, great thought. You know, one of the things the Bible says that God hates is this, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Proverbs 26 and verse 20 says this, "Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, strife ceaseth." Amen. See, where there's a talebearer, where there's a busybody, where there's a gossip, where there's someone whispering and causing division and saying, "Did you hear about this? And did you hear about that person? And let me tell you what I found out about this person." None of that brings unity to the family of God. The Bible says where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. And I'm saying to you this morning that if we're going to be a church that is walking with the Lord, and if we're going to have a daily walk with God, what does a day in the life of a church family look like? Well, it looks like walking in unity. It looks like valuing the people that God has brought around us. You know, the Bible says that we are a body. And here's what the Bible says. It says that God hath placed every member in the body. If God has placed you and made you part of the Verity Baptist Church, you're here because God placed you here, because God wanted you here, because God endeavored to have you here. However you came and however road that God brought you, He brought you here for a reason. He brought you here for a purpose. And let me say to you that God brought you here for a reason and a purpose, but you should also be able to look to the person sitting next to you and the person on the other side of you, and that person may be your spouse or maybe someone else, or the person sitting behind you or the person sitting in front of you, and no matter how annoying or how frustrating those individuals, and hopefully that's not your spouse, but no matter how annoying and how frustrating the individual sitting around you may be from time to time, you ought to realize that just like God placed you here, God placed them here. And if God placed them here, then we ought to love them and we ought to care for them and we ought to endeavor to keep the unity of the faith, the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Over the years, we don't have a problem with this now, at least not that I know of, but over the years, I've had situations where sometimes you put people in charge of certain things and you're thankful for people taking jobs seriously. And I think we ought to take jobs seriously. You know, what we do, we ought to do with excellence. Anything we do, the Bible says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. But you know, over the years, I've had to have conversations sometimes with leaders that are a little overzealous and remind them that what we're doing is important, but you know, the people we're doing it with are more important. And I understand that it can get frustrating maybe if they're not cleaning right and they're part of the cleaning crew, but they don't do a good job and let me just run them off. I'll just do it myself. Hey, listen, cleaning the building is important. Yes, we all understand that. But you know, what's more important is treating the people right that we clean with. Ushering is important and greeting and sitting and taking the offering. But you know, what's more important is treating the people right that you usher with. The people you serve with, the different ministries and different things we do. I'm saying to you that what we do here is important. It's all important. But what's even more important than what we do is the people we do it with, the people that God values, the people that God has brought here. So what does a day in the life look like for a church family? Well, it looks like walking in unity, continuing daily with one accord and singleness of heart. And you might say, well, good. Okay, well, one accord means no gossiping. One accord means minding your own business. One accord means not meddling in things that don't pertain to you. One accord means no cliques, no criticism, no, I'm of Paul and I'm of Apollos. No, I don't like those people. And that person, if they left the church, I wouldn't mind. None of that is walking in unity. So we see that there's the daily walk. And what does it look like? It looks like walking in unity. I want you to notice, secondly, from this verse, not only does the daily walk look like walking in unity, but I want you to notice that the daily walk looks like walking in fellowship. Look at verse 46 again. Acts 2:46. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple. Notice these words, and breaking of bread from house to house. Now, the term there, breaking the bread, some people debate this. Some people think that it's referring to taking the Lord's Supper. And there's definitely times where the Bible talks about breaking bread in the context of the Lord's Supper. But I believe that this is referring to fellowship. Breaking of bread from house to house. Did eat their meat. The word meat is an older word. It just means food. Notice the words here, with gladness. And what I want to say to you is that a daily walk looks like walking in unity, but a daily walk also looks like walking in fellowship. It means that we ought to spend time together as a church family. It means that we ought to fellowship together. You're there in Acts. Keep your place there in Acts. Most of the verses we're going to look at are going to be in Acts, but go with me, if you wouldn't mind, to the book of Romans just real quickly. Just one book over, Romans chapter number 12. Hospitality is an important thing. Fellowship is an important thing. I don't know if you've noticed, but here at Verity Baptist Church, we do our best to try to give you opportunities to be able to fellowship. There's a reason why next week we're having a family fun night and we're having a volleyball tournament and we're having an ice cream social. And why are we having a family friend day for our 15-year anniversary and having food afterwards? Why do we have a homeschool group that has a PE class every other week? Why do we have a pie social in Thanksgiving and Christmas parties and church picnics and why a harvest party on October 31st? Why do we do these things? Because it's important for us to fellowship, and we can't make you be friends with each other, but we can give you opportunities to be able to spend time together and be friends with each other. Why? Because hospitality builds fellowship. And as human beings, and specifically as Baptists, I don't know that we spend any more time, better time together than when we're eating together. So the breaking of bread is an important thing. Coming together around a meal can do wonders for building relationship and fellowship. And here's what I'm saying to you. You say, well, what's the big deal? What's the big deal if I don't want to be part of the ice cream social? And to me, if you don't want to be part of the ice cream social, I just think to myself, what's wrong with you?
I mean, I don't have to like the people. I just have to like the ice cream to be a part of an ice cream social in my thoughts. But, you know, I don't want a fellowship. I don't want to come early. And I don't want to talk to anybody. I just want to sit here and have a frown on my face and not greet anybody, not talk to anybody, not be nice to anybody. I don't want to do that. Here's what you need to understand is that the events and the meals and the potlucks and those things, the hospitality builds fellowship. Here's the thing. We can't make you be friends. We can't force anyone to be friends with anyone that they don't want to. And I don't think that we necessarily should be trying to make people be friends that don't want to be friends. But what I'm saying to you is this, that there are things that come naturally and that work together. Hospitality builds fellowship. You say, well, why is that important? Here's why it's important. Because fellowship builds relationships. You say, well, why is that important? Why is that important? Because relationships are needed during the highs and lows of life. Are you there in Romans chapter 12? Look at verse 15. Romans 12 is actually, the context is about the body of Christ, a church. And here's what the Bible says that a body of Christ does and looks like on a regular basis. It says, rejoice with them that do rejoice. And then it says, weep with them that weep. And then notice the context, verse 16, be of the same mind one towards another. The idea is that we should be walking in unity and we should be walking in fellowship. And you might say, well, I don't think that it's a big deal if I show up or don't show up, or my team had a picnic, or my team had this event, or there was that, and I didn't come. And look, I'm not saying that everybody can come to everything. I'm not beating up anybody for any specific thing. Here's what I am saying to you is that if you do not purpose to spend time with other individuals, you say, it's not a big deal if I don't show up to that hospitality event. And here's what I'm saying to you. You're right. It's not a big deal if you don't show up to any particular hospitality event. But what I am saying to you is that if you never show up to any hospitality event, you never try to create any sort of interaction with anybody, then you're never going to build fellowship, because you've got to have the hospitality to build fellowship. You say, well, what's the big deal if I don't build fellowship? Not a big deal if you don't build the fellowship, except for the fact that without the fellowship, you're never going to build relationships. And you say, well, what's the big deal if I don't build relationships? Not a big deal. As long as you don't end up in the hospital and want somebody to visit you. As long as you don't go through a difficult time in your marriage and need somebody to talk to. As long as you don't go through a difficult time with your finances or your health or maybe your children. What I'm saying to you is that there are times in life when we need each other. God built us for community. We need a community of individuals that rejoice with us when we do rejoice and that weep with us when we weep. And when you need that, that doesn't get built overnight. Sometimes people will complain and say, well, I'm going through this difficult time and no one reached out to me. And it's like, who are you? We haven't seen you in years. And again, I'm not beating up on anybody with regards to that. What I'm saying to you is that there's just this reality that deep relationships do not just get built. You say, but the hospitality, that's shallow. But that's the only way that a deep relationship can begin, with those shallow interactions. And what I am saying to you is that a day in the life of a church looks like spending every day, because we know that not every day is a good day. And when the days are good, we're spending them together. And when the days are bad, we're spending them together. And we're rejoicing with them that do rejoice, and we're weeping with them that weep, and we're being of the same mind one towards another. But that doesn't happen overnight. Many of you know that we've been praying for little Yaretzi, the Dios family, of course, has their 11-year-old daughter at Stanford Children's Hospital in Palo Alto. And this week, she got new lungs put in. and praise the Lord for that. And she's doing well with that. And we've been praying as a church family. And it's quite an amazing thing, you know. My wife and I were there with them, spent many hours there on the day that she was having her lung transplant. And it's an amazing thing. I just kept thinking about this verse: "Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep." You spent several hours there, you know, and at times we were laughing, and at times we were weeping, and at times we're talking about nothing that has anything to do with anything, and just funny stories of things that have happened, and people breaking into their house while they're gone, and at times we're praying. And what I'm saying to you is that those types of relationships don't just happen. You don't just show up to church one day and have these deep relationships with people who love you and care. And many of you have driven out to Palo Alto and been there with them. And I thank you for it. But what I'm saying to you is that those things do not just happen overnight. After the surgery, before Yuretzi had woken up or that they'd talked to her, I was texting with Brother Edgar back and forth, and he sent me this text, and I asked his permission. I asked him if I could read it to our church family, and he gave me permission to do it. It's in the middle of a conversation, so I won't read the whole thing to you, but so it'll sound like I'm jumping into the middle of a conversation, but I just wanted to read this to you. He wrote me this. He said, "We are just so grateful for everything the Lord has done for her. And I can't wait to actually tell her how much God loves her and that He blessed her with new lungs. I'm also grateful for you, your family, and all of the church family for all the support and prayers throughout this whole journey the Lord has us on. I can truly say that if our whole church, Verity Baptist Church, is praying, then everything will turn out good. We still have a recovery road ahead of us, and there is no doubt in my heart that the Lord will guide her through it all." What I'm saying to you is this, that a day in the life of a church doesn't look like a Sunday morning service. That's part of it. It doesn't look like just a Sunday evening service. That's part of it. It doesn't look like a Wednesday evening service. That's part of it. But it looks like the highs and lows of life, graduation services and the funerals, the weddings, in the hours of counseling. We rejoice with them that do rejoice, and we weep with them that weep. And that doesn't happen overnight. So we see that a day in the life of a church family looks like a daily walk in unity, and a daily walk in fellowship. Let me give you a second thought this morning. You're there in Acts, or you're there in Romans. Go back to Acts 17 if you wouldn't mind. Look at verse number 11. Acts 17 and verse 11. I'm highlighting for you when the Bible uses these terms daily. In Acts 17 and verse 11, the Bible says this: "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica." Now we're talking about the church in Thessalonica, and specifically we're talking about the church in Berea. And how Paul came and he found that the members of the church in Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures. I want you to notice this word. I'm emphasizing this word for you this morning. The Bible says they searched the scriptures. It says daily. They search the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. I want you to notice that, what does a day in the life of a church family look like? Well, I think it looks like a daily walk, but I want you to notice that it also looks like a daily word. A daily word. You say, why do I come to church? I come to church to learn the Bible. That's one of the reasons you come to church, to learn the Bible. But let me tell you, that should be, learning the Bible should be something we're doing on a daily basis. Now, yes, what does it look like? A church family should have people in it that faithfully come to the services ready to learn God's word. Look at verse 11 again. "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica." He's saying, when he says they were more noble, and please don't take this the wrong way. I don't know how else to explain it. But what Paul is saying is that not all churches are created equal and not all Christians are created equal. And he's saying these Christians were better than those Christians.
He said the people in Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica. And you say, well, what made them more noble? And Paul would say two things made them more noble. One, that they received the word with all readiness of mind. Paul said, when I stood to preach there for the Bereans, I noticed something that these people, they showed up, but they not only showed up, they showed up ready to receive God's word, he says, with all readiness of mind. Amen. You know, a church should have church family should have people in it that faithfully come to the services ready to learn God's word. Readiness of mind means showing up to church with a Bible open, with a pen in hand, with something to write with. And I'm not saying that that's the only, but what I'm saying is it means showing up to church with an open Bible and an open heart. Do you come hungry for God's word? Do you come hungry for God's word, or do you come distracted from God's word? Bored, defensive. If he says one more thing about, is that a readiness of mind? When's the last time you and I showed up to church and said, today, Lord, today I'd like you to speak to me through your word. Today, Lord, I'd like you to perform a miracle and use that idiot up there. I hope you don't say that. And just get him out of the way, but actually let your Holy Spirit speak to me through your word. And that they receive the word with all readiness of mind. Let me tell you this, you're not going to hear from the preaching of God's word if you don't show up to the preaching of God's word. These people showed up. I want to encourage you about your faithfulness to the house of God. How faithful are you? How faithful are you? Are you showing up ready? You know, the Bible says that we ought to despise not prophesying. Whenever the word of God is being preached, we ought to give attention to it. Oftentimes, I think that we have the wrong mentality when it comes to church. I think that we think that church is the main event. And we'll make statements like, oh, we came to church to serve God. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with saying that. I'm not necessarily saying that. But the reality is that we've got this thing in reverse. We serve God out there. To use a sports analogy, church is not the game, church is practice. The game is played out there in the field, out there. And what I'm saying to you is that you're not going to do very well in the game that you and I are in. You say, well, I don't know, does that line up scripturally? Well, here's what Paul said. This is a different sport, so I'm mixing analogies now. But Paul said, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. What was that race, that sports event he was talking about? It's life. Our lives are the sports event. You say, then what's church? Church is practice. And here's what I'm saying to you. Maybe you keep striking out at life because you're skipping too many practices. Maybe if you showed up to the practices and you came here and we said, here's how you do it. Here's how you hit the ball. Here's how you make that hoop. Here's how you make that goal. Here are the rules. Here's the explanation. And we come together and practice. Then you get out on that field and you can actually perform properly. Amen. See, these people were more noble than those in Thessalonica because they received the word with all readiness of mind. But that's not it. That's just part of it. But let me just say this, there is an importance to being faithful to the house of God. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. It says, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. See, when it comes to practice, here's the thing, the whole team needs you at practice. You play on a baseball team and you're second base. When I was a kid, I played baseball and I played second base. Also played left field. If you're the second baseman and you don't show up to any of the practices, but you show up to all of the games, how do you expect to know what to do, and how do you expect to have this momentum, and how do you expect to have this synergy within a team if you've not played together? And what I'm saying to you is that if the church services are a practice, they're a benefit to you. But let me tell you something, they're also a benefit to us. See, the Bible says that we should be exhorting when you show up, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting. So I come to church to be exhorted. I'm glad. I hope you come to church to be exhorted. But let me tell you something. When you show up to church, you exhort others, exhorting one another. You say, I'm on a sports team. So I need to be at the practices. I need to be at the practice to be play good on the field. Yes, you're right. You are on a sports team and you need to be at the practice. But let me tell you something. You are on a sports team and the rest of the team needs you at the practice too. We're exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. So we see that they were faithful to come to the services. They did it on a regular basis. But notice the emphasis on what they did daily was this. Look at the last part of verse 11, Acts 17, verse 11. And search the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. They didn't just take Paul's word for it. They checked the Bible out for themselves. Look, don't just believe something because a preacher says it. Don't just believe something just because a preacher says it on the radio or preacher says it on TV or preacher says it on YouTube or people or preacher says it at church. Now again, understand, don't come to church with a bad attitude. No, they came to church and they received the word with all readiness of mind. Don't come to church with this critical attitude. Well, I'm just waiting to see what he says wrong this time. Don't do that. But at the same time, don't come to church with this attitude that says, oh, the preacher says it, that's all I need. Look, when people ask you questions about life and doctrine, people ask you questions, why do you do certain things, maybe with your marriage or with your children or with your life? You don't do certain things, you don't drink certain things, you don't go certain places, you don't participate in certain things, people want to know about that. The wrong answer is, well, I don't know, that's just what the preacher said. Wrong answer. Why are you dressed that way? Well, that's what pastor said. Wrong answer. Now, maybe pastor teaches you something and explains something to you from the Word of God. But you know what you ought to do is you ought to search the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Amen. People often make these statements like, well, I know the pastor says this, but I don't believe that. I know the pastor says this, but I don't agree with that. Well, let me tell you something. It doesn't matter what the pastor says. You know what matters is, does the Bible say what the pastor said? Because it's so easy to just dismiss. Well, I know the pastor preaches this, but I don't believe that. So easy to dismiss what the pastor says. But how about this? Is it easy to dismiss what the Word of God says? Now, if what the pastor says doesn't line up with what the Word of God says, then by all means, dismiss it. But if you're just saying, well, I know the pastor says, and I know the church teaches, and I know the church believes, but I don't, and it's so easy to dismiss it. But why don't you ask yourself this question? Does the Bible teach what the pastor's saying? Does the Bible teach what the Word, what the church believes? And if so, then maybe we should be a little less hesitant to dismiss it. When the pastor's not preaching the Word of God, when the pastor's giving you his opinion, dismiss it, please. No problem there. But to have this attitude, say, well, I know what the pastor says, but I... No, okay, but here's the question. But what does the Bible say? What does the Word of God say? They search the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. You ought to believe it because it lines up with the Word of God, not because the pastor said. 1 John 4:1, and if the pastor is saying something that doesn't line up with the Word of God, then don't believe it. 1 John 4:1, you have to turn there and says this, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. We ought to try the spirits. We ought to search the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. So we see, what does a day in the life of a church look like? It looks like a daily walk. What does that look like? It looks like walking in unity and walking in fellowship. We see that a day in the life of a church family looks like a daily word. You say, I'm getting my daily word right now. I'm in church on Sunday morning. Look, when you come to church, this is like the restaurant. It's like going out to eat at a restaurant. You're getting served a meal from the Word of God that you did not work on, that you did not prepare. You just came, and we served it to you, and maybe you ought to consider leaving a tip. No, I'm just kidding. But what I'm saying to you is you can't eat at a restaurant breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week. I hope you don't. At some point, you got to get in that kitchen and cook something up for yourself. And what I'm saying is, yes, come to the restaurant of Verity Baptist Church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We're probably going to feed you some things that maybe you can't cook yet. And feed you some things that are just a little bit above you. You know, you say Gog and Magog. I don't know what that's about. Well, if you look it up on Google, everyone's going to tell you it's Russia and China and Iran coming against Israel. You say, is that true? We'll come back tonight. We'll look at it in the Bible and figure it out. But what I'm saying to you is that you yourself need to be feasting on the Word of God. The daily bread of the Word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. And he was talking about physical food, but you need spiritual food as well. Job said, I have esteemed your words, he said, more necessary than my daily food. So we see that there's a daily walk, and we said there's a daily word. And I want you to notice thirdly this morning that there's a daily witness. Are you there in Acts? Look at Acts chapter 5 and verse 42. Acts 5:42. Notice what the Bible says. Acts 5:42 says, and here's our word, daily. Notice the emphasis is on this term daily, it seems like, in the book of Acts. And daily in the temple, that's public. That was their public gatherings. Daily in the temple, and then it says this, and in every house. What they do? They cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. You know that we ought to preach Christ in public settings, like we're in right now? Daily in the temple. But we also ought to preach Christ in private settings and in every house. In fact, the Bible says that Jesus sent his disciples by two and two into the highways and the hedges to compel them to come in. Not compel them to come into church, although that's great, but to compel them to come into the house of God, the household of God, salvation. The Bible says that we are to go from house to house. Now I want to encourage you. Here it says that daily, this was a daily thing. And what I'm saying to you is you say, well, we don't have soul winning every day. You know, we have soul winning, our main soul winning time Saturday morning. Then we have Thursday at 2 p.m. and Sunday at 2 p.m. And would to God that one day, Lord willing, one day our church will have a soul winning time, maybe every day of the week. But the idea is this, that not that you necessarily are going to go soul winning every day, although if you want to go soul winning every day, that's a great thing to do. But the idea is this, that congregationally, as a body of believers, we should all cohesively be preaching the gospel every day. Somebody should be talking about Jesus every day. In Sacramento, California, when you've got this family of the Verity Baptist Church meeting on a Sunday morning, meeting on a Sunday night, meeting on a Wednesday night, but throughout the week dispersing out into our separate lives and separate jobs and separate families and separate careers, that with all of us living out our faith in this community, that someone's speaking about Jesus every day. Amen. Daily in the temple and every house, they cease not to preach and teach Jesus Christ. Notice Acts chapter 2, if you would. Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, if you flip back, Acts 2:47. Notice what the Bible says here. Praising God and having favor with all the people. Notice the words here. And the Lord added to the church. Look at the emphasis here. Daily. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Why was the Lord able to add daily? Because the church was witnessing daily. You say, well, we don't have soul winning every day. I understand that. But soul winning is not the only time we can speak about Christ. Amen. I think we ought to make a purpose. I think every Christian should just determine to have a time set aside every week where they purposely, on purpose, go out and preach the gospel. But let me tell you something. You've also got some divine appointments that God sets up for you. Amen. And you've got some people that God has brought into your life. Maybe they're neighbors, and maybe they're friends, and maybe they're co-workers, and it's just some, you know some people that I'm never going to meet, and I know some people that you're never going to meet. And God desires for us to have a daily witness. And that can look in different ways, and obviously the greatest thing is to preach the gospel. You say, well, I've got this family member, and I'm burdened about their salvation, but I'm just not comfortable speaking to them, and they know some things about me, or they're just not going to take me seriously. And look, there's truth to that. The Bible says that a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country. You say, well, what can I do? Well, I tell you what you can do. You can bring him here. We'll give him the gospel. Amen. Don't waste these opportunities. I don't know if you noticed, but every quarter or so, we try to give you an opportunity here. And we might call it I Love My Church Sunday in February, or we might call it Easter Sunday in April, or we might call it whatever we called God Bless America Sunday. I don't think that's what we called it. I can't remember what we called it. Freedom Sunday or Heal Our Land Sunday. We might call it Family and Friends Sunday. We might call it our big Christmas service, but we give you these opportunities to invite someone. And look, the best thing would be to preach the gospel to them, but if you're not able to, you know, in the Bible we also have this pattern where some people, they weren't able to maybe preach the gospel necessarily to a friend or family member, but you know what we often see in the gospels is people going to their friends and their family and saying, come and see. Come and see what I found. Let me show you a place where they'll teach you the word of God. Let me show you a place where you can get helped. So we see that there's a daily walk, and we see that there's a daily word, and we see that there's a daily witness. Well, I want you to notice lastly this morning. You're there in Acts 2. Can you flip over to Acts chapter 6? I want you to notice that there's a daily work. There's a daily walk and a daily word and a daily witness, but there's also a daily work. In Acts chapter 6 and verse number 1, the Bible says, and in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, here we have a growing church. And because there's a growing church, I want you to notice that they're experiencing here in Acts chapter 6 some growing pains. The Bible says that in those days when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected. There were some things, they had been growing, but because they'd been growing, they've been so busy, there were some things that weren't getting done. There was a murmuring, and that's affecting the unity. So this needs to be dealt with. There's a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected. But notice the words here, here's our word, daily ministration. Why don't you notice that there's a daily work? I sure hope you don't think pastors only work on Sunday. There's a daily ministration. There's a daily work. This was a growing church, and because they were a growing church, they were experiencing some growing pains. And whenever you're experiencing some growing pains, the way you solve it is you need some growing participation. You say, what did they do about this neglect in the daily ministration? Verse 2, then the 12 called the multitude of disciples. And keep in mind, this is a church of thousands at this point, right? 3,000 saved the day of Pentecost, 5,000 saved another day. The Lord is adding to the church daily such as should be saved. The 12 apostles are functioning as the spiritual leadership. They're the ones teaching the word of God and doing those things. Then the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God to serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And I understand that in the context here, we're talking about 7 full-time, full-page staff, and I believe, I'm of the persuasion that these are the first deacons of the church, and I understand that, but the point is the same, and it is this, that when you have a growing church, you're going to have some growing pains, and when you've got some growing pains, you need some growing participation. You need some people to step up and to help. Amen. So what does a day in the life of a church look like? A day in the life of a church looks like what you might expect a Sunday morning to look like, but you know, it also looks like on Monday morning, people engaging in a daily ministration and coming to a building and cleaning it up after the Sunday services in preparation for the Wednesday services. It looks like people going soul winning on Thursday. And it looks like people going soul winning on Saturday. And it looks like people coming and volunteering and doing little things and different things and taking care of the clothes closet and maybe fixing things up around the building. It looks like people just finding somewhere where they can help, where they can be useful, where they can help carry the burden, because sometimes there's growing pains. And the way we answer the growing pains is by a growing participation. There's a daily work. We're talking about what does a day in the life of a church look like? Well, it looks like a daily walk. It looks like a daily word. It looks like a daily witness. It looks like a daily work. Here's what I'm saying to you. A church that is engaged in their spiritual lives on a daily basis, that's a healthy church. And a healthy church, can you go to Acts chapter 16? Last place we'll look at this morning. A healthy church is a growing church. Acts 16, look at verse 5. Acts chapter 16, verse 5, the Bible says, "And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number." Look at it, there's our word. Increased in number daily. Daily. I don't know if you noticed it, but did you notice that in the book of Acts, when it comes to the local churches there, that there's an emphasis on this word? You would think, see, if I was writing the Bible, and if you were writing the Bible, and if we were writing a book of the Bible, we were told, okay, you're going to be assigned the task of writing the book of Acts, which is about the history of the local church and the beginning of the local church. You know, you would think that we would use this term a lot. Sunday morning. Or weekly. We'd use this term a lot. Weekends, right? That's what most people associate church with. Sunday morning, weekends. Or we're Baptists, right? So we've got Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. So if I wrote the book, I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm just telling you, if I wrote the book of Acts, it probably had this phrase in it a lot, three to thrive, right? Three to thrive, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, three to thrive. If I wrote Acts, that's probably what it would say. But when the Holy Spirit writes the book of Acts, you know, he doesn't say weeks, he doesn't say weekends, he doesn't even say three to thrive. You know what he says? He says, "And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily." He says, "And they continuing daily." He says, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily." He says, "And daily in the temple and in every house they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." He says, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily." He says, "And in those days when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration." See, when God writes about the local church, he uses this word, a day in the life of a local church. You say, why? Because the early church didn't just meet once a week. They lived out their faith daily. Christianity is not just a Sunday-only religion. It is a Monday religion, and a Tuesday religion, and a Wednesday religion, and a Thursday religion, and a Friday, and a Saturday, and a Sunday. You know what Paul said in Colossians? He said, "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." So we ought to live this thing out daily. Doesn't that sound beautiful? Amen. That God would give you a family of believers that you could play with, but you can also pray with. You say, I've got a bowling league. I've got 10,000 friends on Facebook I've never met. I've got coworkers, and I've got, and I understand we were made for companionship. We were made for community, which is why we have, you know, all these social media and all that. I understand that, but here's what I'm saying. I'm glad you got a bowling league. I'm glad you can play with the bowling league, but can you pray with the bowling league? You say, I can play with my coworkers. We can go out and play pickleball or whatever. Good, I'm glad, but can you pray with them? God has given you a family. Why don't you get engaged? Why don't you engage in a daily walk? Why don't you engage in a daily word? Why don't you engage in a daily witness? And why don't you engage in a daily work? And you might think it's not that big of a deal, and it's not that big of a deal till life isn't going well. And then you find out that the bowling league didn't come visit you at the hospital. The co-workers didn't really care that your marriage was falling apart. And all those other things were just not exactly what God had in store for you. So why don't you get involved in this beautiful family called
the Verity Baptist Church. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. And we thank you for your word. And Lord, I think it's an amazing thing that the book of Acts seems to emphasize this thought daily. Daily. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to live out the Christian life daily. Every day matters. We don't have a day to waste. And so many of us have wasted so many days. And Lord, I pray you'd help us going forward to focus on this thing daily. In the matchless name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. We're going to have Brother Andrew come up and lead us in a final song.